Until Thomas Bonino came along, the longest-serving mayor in Boston history was Kevin Hagan White. White died Friday at the age of 82 after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. A public wake will be held tomorrow, followed by a funeral for White on Wednesday. As Mayor White strode across Boston's political stage, serving from 1968 until 1984, one of the most prominent journalists covering him was former longtime Boston Globe columnist Mike Barnicle. Mike joins us this morning from Miami, Florida, where he's still on top of the politics of the day, helping MSNBC cover the Florida GOP presidential primary. Mike, good morning, and thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition.
Glad to be here, Bob.
You know, Kevin White back in those years was a dominant big city mayor, as were many other big city mayors across the country. And you were, frankly, a dominant big city columnist. What was your relationship with Kevin White like, and how do you remember him?
Well, my relationship with him, Bob, evolved through several different incarnations during the early stages of busing. It was, I think, as with most of the media, it was kind of a tense relationship because he was so shocked and stunned by what he was seeing on the streets of the city around him. It evolved later on in the mid-1970s through the end of his term, and then later after he left the mayor's office, into what I would consider to be a really nice personal relationship. He was an interesting guy. He was a big picture guy, a thoughtful guy. All in all, it was a relationship that I enjoyed and learned a lot from.
You mentioned busing. Of course, we know mid-1970s, federal judge Arthur Garrity orders mandatory school busing in Boston to desegregate the Boston schools, which brought about anguish and violence to the city. How do you think White performed as the city struggled through that controversy?
You know, I think he had a difficult time, Bob, actually, because he was certainly largely in favor of revamping the school system and integrating the school system, but it was a complex picture that he knew instinctively, having lived in the city all of his life, that even with the mandate from the federal court, from Judge Garrity, that a bus ride from Blue Hill Avenue to 6th Street in South Boston didn't mean that someone was going to go to Harvard or Columbia when they got off the bus. So he was aware of the class aspect, the racial aspect. But I think above all, he was stunned at the reaction among specific segments of the population in Boston to that issue. He was stunned by the violence and knew instinctively that he was done in terms of any larger stage politically.
You know, fairly or unfairly, Boston got tagged with being a racist city back then, and in some ways that image still stains us now. Some people fault Kevin White for that, either fully or partially. Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't think it's fair. And I think that, much stronger than just a suspicion, as you described it. If Boston is a racist city, then so is every other American city. I'm in Miami Beach right now today as I speak to you. If Boston is racist, so is Miami Beach. Human beings are human beings. They bring to them each day whatever baggage they bring to the day. But stop Googling things and just applying the term racist city to Boston just because someone applied it to Boston in the mid-1970s. It's wrongheaded.
Kevin White's final years as mayor were marked with some scandal, with some white aides convicted of corruption. White himself was never indicted. How do you think he viewed all that, the federal investigations led by the then U.S. attorney, future governor of the Commonwealth, William Weld, into his administration?
Yeah, he resented it, Bob. I think he resented it because he thought that, and I think he was wrong in this, I think he thought that Bill Weld was choosing to focus on the White administration as some part of Weld's personal political plans. I do not think that was the case. He knew it was inevitable in any administration of that length that there were going to be people who would take advantage. Again, it gets back to human nature. Some people can't help themselves, you know. But he resented the taint on his reputation.
You have a favorite Kevin White story?
Oh, Bob, I have so many. One of the things I was thinking about was the day he told me about the first time he met Jimmy Bulger, otherwise known as Whitey Bulger. He had never met him before, and he was walking from his home on Beacon Hill over to the old Ritz-Carlton on Arlington Street. And he stopped at the lights right there by the Ritz, and a car stopped in traffic the window rolled down. The guy leaned out the window. It was midwinter, and said, "Hey, Kevin White." And he turned and looked at the guy. And the guy said, he said, "You know, you're all right. My brother says you're a pretty good guy." And Kevin, smiling, laughing, affable politician, said, "Hey, that's great. Who's your brother?" He said, "Bill Bulger."
Mike Barnicle, regular on MSNBC's Morning Joe, former Boston Globe Metro columnist. Thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning and remembering Kevin White.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you.